Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds on the Holistic Survival Show. And by the way, be sure to visit our website at holisticsurvival.com. You can subscribe to our blog, which is totally free, has loads of great information, and there's just a lot of good content for you on the site. So make sure you take advantage of that at holisticsurvival.com. We'll be right back.
Now you can get Jason's Creating Wealth in Today's Economy home study course. All the knowledge and education revealed in a 9-hour day of the Creating Wealth Bootcamp, created in a home study course for you to dive into at your convenience. For more details, go to jasonhartman.com.
It's my pleasure to welcome James Yeager back to the show. He is going to talk about his latest film entitled Spoiler: How a Third Party Could Win. Now, Spoiler explodes the political, economic, and philosophic ethos of the past 98 years. Now, what happened 98 years ago? Well, you're going to hear about that, and if you're a regular listener to the show, you probably already know what I'm getting at. For clues into the expanding debt-driven welfare warfare state and the ways Americans can get back to a constitutional republic. James, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you from Philadelphia today. How are you?
Thanks, Jason. It's great to be back.
So tell us about Spoiler now. You started this project, what, 17 months ago?
Well, yes, about 17 months ago, we had just finished producing a movie called Original Intent, which examines the Constitution and how the Democrats and Republicans are handling application of the same. In fact, the full title of the movie is Original Intent: How the Democratic and Republican Parties Are Destroying the American Dream.
Yeah, I know when you said that, James, when you said how they're handling the application of the Constitution, I wanted to say, you mean the non-application of the Constitution?
Right. Well, the movie actually went through a number of different morph titles. The first title was How Negative Influences Are Undermining the U.S. Constitution. And then my partner, Edwin Vieira, just said, look, let's just cut to the chase. It's the Democrats and the Republican parties that are destroying the freaking nation. So we changed the title of that. Then once I got through this movie, I thought to myself, gee, it's not really that much fun to just put out doom and gloom everywhere and not tell people how they can do something about it. So I was really pondering this concept. And one day at the Daily Bell, I came across a guy named Nelson Holtberg, who had just written a book called The Conservative Revolution. And how we can form a political party to take it back or something like that. So I read the book and I thought, wow, this guy's got some answers. He's explained why third political parties never seem to get into power, why the Democrats and the Republicans always seem to get back in power. They bat power back and forth and they argue and argue and argue, yet the results of the Democrats and Republicans seem to be the same, a bigger welfare, bigger warfare state. And so Nelson convinced me in his book that the only way this can be changed, the only way a new vision can be laid out for the public is by a third party, because they don't have to kowtow to the interests of the Demopublicans.
The Demopublicans, I love that. That is a great, great, great term there. Well, so every time we have an election lately, we see all of this popular support for none other than Ron Paul, the guy that just gets up there, he says, he speaks the truth, he makes a lot of sense, and it seems that by and large, the American people really like him. Of course, there are disagreements. I don't agree with everything he stands for, but boy, based on the choices we have, I gotta say, he'd be my pick for sure. But he never can seem to make any real headway beyond fundraising and internet polls and winning the debates. The media and the powers that be always seem to really push him out. And you know, James, it reminds me of this documentary I saw a couple of years ago about Ralph Nader. Same story. They talked about how he wasn't allowed to participate in debates and how they just pushed him out of the running.
Right. Your observations are absolutely spot on. I mean, Ron Paul is just continually marginalized. He's continually up there on the debate stage, and they don't ask him the questions. He wins these polls, and they don't even bother to acknowledge him as the winner. I mean, just look at the Iowa straw poll. He comes in, 151 votes shy and of Bachman, and they don't even mention him. It's like, technically, you know, if you consider the margin of error, he tied her. But yet, they're talking about all the other ones. They're talking about the endless establishment candidates, and they completely ignore them. We have I've been fortunate to be able to interview Pat Buchanan for Spoiler, and Mr. Buchanan says that the Democratic and Republican parties are a condominium, a conspiracy to keep all others out. It's as if Pepsi and Coke get together to try to keep Sprite from selling anything.
Talk about an antitrust violation. Now, actually, just to correct the perception there, and I don't even know if I'm right or wrong on this, but I'll bet you Sprite's owned by Coca-Cola, right?
Right, but competition is a sin, right? Quote,
yeah.
Unquote, John D. Rockefeller.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And so the game is rigged, and the government many years ago busted up the trust. But we have a political trust. We have a huge restraint of trade or a huge antitrust violation that is occurring at our nation's power base, don't we?
We do. And let me clarify for your listeners. This is, we're not making any slights against competition or against free market enterprise. In fact, the film is championing free markets, the gold standard, the ethic that we had in the first 137 years of the nation. And what the film is doing is we have basically said the dividing point from when this nation was doing things great to where it started going downhill into this socialist morass they're in is 1913. And 1913 is the year the Federal Reserve System was founded. And from that year on, we slowly went off the gold standard onto this fiat money standard. They have devalued the dollar 98%, and at the same time, these large corporations have been able to get in there and use fiat money to literally purchase up Congress and institute a crony capitalism and a monopoly capitalism that we maintain is not true free market capitalism. When you are partners with the government, you have advantages over other free enterprise capitalist entities, and that's not what free market capitalism is about at all.
Tell us about the bigger game here. I mean, what's interesting about this is you're not just studying a potential for a real third party from a contemporary perspective, James, but you looked back, and you alluded to that, but I want to dig into this a little more. You looked back into the founding of the Federal Reserve, and then very shortly thereafter, the income tax, the federal income tax, and how this all tied together. I mean, what was the grand plan here, or what is your opinion as to what the grand plan was to do this?
What we did when we researched the subject very carefully, and I would like to mention that Edwin Vieira is my producing partner on this, and the movie is based upon the brilliant work of Nelson Holtberg and his book, The Conservative Revolution, which I highly recommend to all your listeners. We looked at the philosophical underpinnings of the last era from 1913 to the present. And we looked at the philosophical underpinnings of the forming of the nation up to 1913. And we've labeled those two eras the libertarian conservative era, which was the first era from the beginning of the forming of our nation, and the second era we call the progressive era. And what we've done is we asked ourselves the question, how could so many people be fooled into this system that we're into, this big government spending, this Keynesian economic system? How could you fool millions and millions of people for decades and decades and decades, and no matter which political party is in power, they still apply the same philosophies, the same economics? And so we came to the conclusion that it is powerful philosophers that have laid down the zeitgeist of these errors and slowly indoctrinated people over the last 100 years. And we come to the conclusion that it's the philosophers and it's the political thinkers that influence society and influence people as they're going about eating their hamburgers and watching television. What they're really doing is they're emulating the thoughts of these philosophers. And we isolated 3 philosophers that have taken us down the tubes: Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Auguste Comte, and Karl Marx. And so looking at going back to the source of the problem, we have found that these 3 philosophers are the source of the problem, because they basically undermined the whole viewpoint of the individualist, strong, free economic society that we had going from the birth of the nation, and they have brought us into an increasingly welfarism, totalitarian, moving towards totalitarian-type civilization, centralized planning, and so on.
Talk to us a little bit, James, if you would, about those 3 philosophers. I mean, pretty much everybody knows about Marx, even those who practice Marxism. I have to laugh because it's so sad. I don't know what else to do, how to handle my feelings about it. But Kant and Rousseau, what were their main philosophies in terms of how they're impacting us today and mixing with Marxism?
The first thing is you have Hobbes, who basically influenced Rousseau. And Rousseau is a French philosopher. Rousseau's contribution, his fallacious contribution to political thought, especially in his book, The Social Contract, he stipulates that the general will of society is supreme. And Rousseau is the source of the idea that we're a democracy, that whatever the people say goes. That's the will of society. We have to follow the will of society. This completely negates thought from Jefferson and Locke, because these fellows say, no, individuals have certain rights, and the will of society only holds up to a certain point. In other words, you can't have lynch mobs without due process. Then along comes another philosopher named Auguste Comte, and Comte's contributions, other than positivism, where he analyzed the scientific method and the sciences and so on, his greatest fallacious contribution is the idea of altruism. Now, altruism is meant to be doing the greatest good. You constantly, if you listen to the media, you hear them yapping about, oh, it's the greatest good, we're going to do the greatest good. And the left takes the general welfare clause of the Constitution and interprets that to mean, oh, the greatest good, we have to have a big government so we can give out handouts and so we can take care of everybody and do the greatest good. Well, Comte actually took Aquinas' concept, the great Catholic theologian Aquinas, and took his concept of doing the public good and twisted it around to making altruism being an act of sacrifice. In other words, people have to sacrifice themselves for the greater good, and they twisted that to mean the greater good, meaning the state. We have to sacrifice ourselves for the state. Rather than just doing great good individual to individual, I do something charitable for you, you do something charitable for me, they've taken Aquinas' philosophy of the greater good, and Auguste Comte has twisted it around to mean sacrifice for the greater good. So that's how those 2 philosophers have influenced the political zeitgeist of the day. And, of course, that leads into Karl Marx, who then basically comes down, takes it the next step. He comes up with his egalitarian idea that the means of production and capitalism are evil, and that public schools have to be instituted, central banking, and all the hard work that individuals put out has to be done for the greater good of the state. The general will of the public is supreme in determining that, and he basically was the icing on the cake. Now, we are under these 3 philosophies.
Those are very scary philosophies. When the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, those are taken to incredible... It's the tyranny of the majority.
Exactly, and that the tyranny of the majority is just another way of saying Rousseau.
Well, tell us more. Tell us more about the movie and how the project evolved and what else you cover. You've got several experts. You can talk about them, whatever you'd like people to know.
Well, this has been our most ambitious project so far. We have 9 experts in this. Our first project, which was Fiat Empire, where we had 4. One of them was Ron Paul, G. Edward Griffin, Ted Baer, and Edwin Vieira. This one, we have nine. We have, as I mentioned earlier, Pat Buchanan in the film, Chuck Baldwin, who's the radio host. We have G. Edward Griffin in the film. Nelson Holtberg is in the film in interviews. We have Peter Lilbach, who's the author of George Washington's Sacred Fire. We also have a very interesting interview with John McManus, president of the John Birch Society. And, you know, for decades, people have poo-pooed this man and said, oh, he's just, you know, some kind of a fringe lunatic. But I think when viewers see this film and see how much sense he's making and all the things he's been saying the last 20 years, I think you're going to see that a lot of what he was saying was not very extreme at all. In fact, he was right on the money. We also have senatorial candidate, Jack Rooney in the film, who gives some amazing history and background of the Constitution and the political system. Then we have Edwin Vieira, who is the constitutional attorney with 4 degrees from Harvard, is also my producing partner, and Edwin goes into various aspects of the legal view of the Constitution and how we're not applying it. And then lastly, in order to substantiate our claims that the progressive era is not doing as well as the libertarian era, we enlisted the interview of economist statistician John Williams, who has a very influential site, ShadowStats.com, exactly. And John went through everything that Nelson and I were claiming as far as the real wage levels and the GDP and inflation rates, and he basically commented on these things. And we actually have some original research in this film. When Nelson and I were putting together, polishing the final touches on the film, we wanted to put up some graphs of what the gross national product was. And we found out that the figures for the GDP, the GNP as it was formerly called, are not available. They're not on the internet from the inception of this country. We wanted the GNP from 1776 to 1913, and then the GNP from 1913 to present, and we wanted it in today's inflation-adjusted dollars. But we were flabbergasted to see that this material did not exist anywhere on the internet. We went to John for the material. He did not have the material, said it didn't exist, in that we'd have to go back to the original libraries in D.C. and around the country and dig these books out. And so Nelson actually did that. He went on a research project, and he got the GDP and GNP figures going back to the inception of the country.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we were able to update these figures and prove beyond an absolute shadow of a doubt that when you have a central bank and a progressive era such as we have, you don't do as well as you do when you have true free market economies.
Well, that would seem obvious to people like you and I, but there are those out there who don't want to hear that because they have a vested interest in having it be different and having more power, right?
That's absolutely right. And we are going to be attacked for this film like nothing else, because we have got the goods on the statistics and we have the experts and facts to prove them and back them up.
So, James, by the time people hear this show, you will have had your release, and there will be a global release as well as a local movie theater release as well. But, you know, I want to ask you something, and I, of course, have not seen the film yet, and I really look forward to seeing it. I want to just ask you something about inflation for a moment, because I constantly have this battle. It is hard to get some people to understand how much the dollar has been destroyed in the last 98 years when they look around and see that they have so much more than they did in the past. And I just remember throughout my relatively short life so far, with technology and distribution systems and importing deflation from China and Mexico, for example, we do have a lot more stuff, certainly. So in some ways, our standard of living, it certainly seems like it's increased quite a bit. Yet at the same time, people like you and I who have a deeper understanding see how the dollar is being destroyed. And I think the future, it's going to be massively destroyed, where we're going to see just huge declines in standard of living. But as it stands right now, if someone is employed, gainfully employed, and they have been for years, they can walk into Costco or Best Buy, and they sure get a lot of goodies nowadays.
Right. But you hit the nail on the head when you said they have a lot of more stuff. And what they don't have a lot more of, all the stuff that can be put on a boat and shipped from communist China to the United States is cheaper. But are houses cheaper? Is education cheaper? Is medical treatments cheaper? Everything you can't ship on a boat across the ocean is skyrocketing. And that is stuff, and that is absolute proof that you can't export your hospitals. You can't export your colleges and universities. You can't pick up all the real estate in the United States and have it all made. And you're in real estate, Jason. Can they build houses in China and ship them over here?
Not yet, but I bet they're certainly working on new technologies, modular type technologies. But no, that's never really going to happen.
But can they pick up, scoop up the planet Earth, dig it up, and send more planet Earth over here? No. So everything that can't be shipped, as you mentioned, outsourcing the inflation from China, is being outsourced, and everything it can't, you see it skyrocketing. But as far as the technology, as far as the stuff, here's what's happening. Our genius technologists, our genius scientists in the United States and around the world are coming up with ways of making better and better computers, better and better electronics, digital, everything. But what's going on is by off-shipping this labor to make this stuff, they are literally sucking out of society the excess productivity of the scientific and technological community. And that windfall is going to the collectors of interest.
The collectors of interest meaning central banks.
Meaning central banks, because as they make the dollar more and more worthless, the dollar basically is, the dollar is becoming more worthless, but the products are becoming easier to make. And that spread in between, where the excess energy should be going to the public, is actually being siphoned off through the creation of money. You know, if you create money out of nothing, and I'm talking about fractional reserve, I just finished rereading some Rothbard last night, what the government has done to your money and a case for 100% gold. There's no question the culprit is fractional reserve. Fractional reserve is what destroyed the gold standard prior to 1933.
Sure, fractional reserve lending you're referring to, yeah.
Yeah, in other words, fraud.
Right, total fraud. Creating money out of thin air, that's what fractional reserve lending does. It lends money into existence. That's just a crazy concept, which is really hard to get your head around. We've done some shows on just that topic before here. But the other way, and this has long been my contention, James, is that it's not just a matter of putting stuff in a container and shipping it over from pseudo-communist China, I'll say, not communo-capitalist China.
Authoritarian capitalist society now, according to Foreign Affairs magazine.
Right. But, you know, I recently interviewed Jim Rogers from Singapore, and he loves China. He thinks China's freer than the United States. And I got a friend over there who's been there for several months, opened a company in China, and I have other friends that do business over there. And I got to tell you, they like it. But the problem is that in a country like that, things can change on a dime. And that's, you don't have the rights you do in America that are soon fast disappearing here too, but still.
That's right. And you know what? I'm happy for them. I'm happy for any country in the world that is able to increase its middle class and rise its standard of living. I'm happy for the Chinese people, and I hope that they throw off the remnants of that suppressive Mao government. But the thing is this, I don't really think that it's fair that, you know, we have these insane taxes. The United States corporate tax is, 35%? The rest of the world averages, 25 or less, 20? And it's just not a fair playing field. I don't think it's right that all the rest of the nations of the world rise at the expense of the United States.
Fair enough. And the thing I was going to say about that, which is just on the thought you're making now, is that not only is it the stuff they can ship over, but my contention has long been that the reason they will not control the border to the south between the U.S. and Mexico is they're importing deflationary labor from Mexico. And it's fooling people into believing that prices aren't rising as fast as they are. So a lot of services, restaurant services, gardening, landscaping, construction services, can be performed for much lower prices with this uneducated underclass where Mexico is exporting their poverty to the U.S. and taking jobs away from Americans. And what you're seeing here, both with the China and the Mexico phenomenon, is you're seeing America being hollowed out. It seems like every job in this country practically nowadays is a job of where we're either marketing something to each other or serving each other rather than building something the whole world wants to buy from us.
Absolutely. I mean, we used to, in the 50s and 60s, 30% or more of our GDP was based on manufacturing. We're now down to below 19%. And it's absolutely right. This is one of the reasons why we don't feel any change is going to come from the Demopublicans. You've got the Republicans are basically taking advantage of this illegal labor coming from Mexico. The whole agricultural industry basically is being subsidized by this illegal labor. Then you've got the Democrats. They like these people to come in because the poor people tend to be Democratic, and they get more votes, and they're trying to build this. So really, are either of these two political parties following the Constitution of limited, nothing's going to change, and that's our viewpoint.
Reagan was the last hope, and even he had his problems, you know. He was part of the conspiracy, too, in some ways, as much as I liked him.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think Reagan was a wonderful president, and he had many great things and accomplishments, but I do think that he is overrated in certain places.
Yeah, no question about it.
Which is another subject entirely.
It is. But, you know, the war on drugs, miserable failure, hugely. That's just another war. Tell us about the warfare state. What do you mean when you say that? Because I think some people, they don't understand how central banks profit from war and how political parties are propped up in our own country from foreign wars that we're getting involved in that we shouldn't be.
Right. Well, if you look at the debates, you will see that, or if you look at just your standard television of the various politicians, you'll see that anytime a Democrat gets up there and they're talking about cutting the budget or the recent budget battles on the debt ceiling, the Republicans always are yapping about, oh, we have to cut the welfare state. We have to cut entitlements. We have to rein in the unions. We have to all this, the poor, they always want handouts, the welfare, the social securities, the entitlements. We got to cut that. Then if you listen to Democrats, they always point to the Republicans, the right, and they go, you guys want the warfare state. You want to pump endless money into the military-industrial complex. You guys are subsidizing, you know, all these big corporations. You gave bailouts to Washington, $700-800 billion. So really, what's going on is this. The government is playing middleman between both the left and the right, between the conservatives and the liberals, between the poor and the rich. And basically, it doesn't really care who says what or how it relates to the Constitution. All this middleman, this multi-trillion-dollar parasite called government that sits in the middle cares about is that it can collect fees. It can collect fees in the way of taxes. It can collect fees in the way of inflating the money and getting use of the fiat money first. And the more they can get one part of the country, one faction, on the left fighting with the other, the government doesn't care because all it does is get bigger and bigger. The entitlements and the welfare, they don't care if it's going to the poor. They don't care if it's going to the rich. In fact, the people in government, the entrenched current government, they don't care if, you know, they say, well, let's give a bunch of money to the poor, and then when they're yapping, we'll give a bunch of money to the rich. And it's this endless game that's going on, and it's leading us down the road to totalitarianism. As Hayek would say, we're on the road to serfdom. And by the way, that's the book everyone should read.
Yes, I had no question about it. Hayek is fantastic. Okay, so tell us, let's conclude, James, with what can people do other than see Spoiler? And by the way, I want to give out your website. It's spoilerusa.org, right?
They can go, they can watch clips of the movie, they can watch a 1.5-minute trailer of the movie, and they can read bios of our 9 experts. And they can order the DVD in singles or in quantities.
Fantastic. And that would be a great thing to do is a lot of times when I find an author or a documentary film producer where I just feel passionate about their message, I buy a dozen copies of the book or the movie and I give it out to my friends. So listen, I don't make a nickel from saying that, but that's what I encourage people to do with your films because I like your work.
Well, I appreciate that. Can I also mention, Jason, that we have put all of our other films up on YouTube for free.
On YouTube or Google Video?
On YouTube. The Google Video is pretty much shut down. But if your listeners go to YouTube and type in Fiat Empire, the whole movie comes up in 3 different flavors. They type in original intent, the whole three-hour movie comes up. If they go to cultural Marxism, that movie comes up, or corporate fascism. So they can watch 6 hours worth of free movies on all these subjects. If they are behooved to purchase DVDs, that's appreciated because that's how we make these movies. People buy the DVDs and it helps us fund new projects. And eventually spoiler will be up for free too. But, you may not want to wait 6 months.
No, because it might be after a very important election we have coming up, too. So get the word out long before that. Okay, so James, conclude with a couple of action steps, if you would. Assuming people listening, and I know my listeners, so they probably agree with what you're saying, and even if they don't necessarily want to maybe vote for someone like a Ron Paul, maybe they don't like Ron Paul, but they'd like to see a third party come in and mix things up a little bit and upset the status quo. And I got to tell you, good old Ross Perot, who probably gave us 8 years of Clinton, unfortunately, but I'm not sure the alternative would have been that much better, frankly, because it's a rigged game either way. But everything Perot was saying back then seems to be coming true. That giant sucking sound sure is true. that was
right,
his famous
exactly.
line.
In fact, we've got Ross in the film actually saying the giant sucking
yeah,
sound.
Yeah, I mean, he was up there with his charts, and he's absolutely right. So I think a lot of people would love to just see a third party really shake things up a little bit and maybe force the Demopublicans, as you call them, to act differently, put some pressure on them at least for some accountability. That would be, that would be a good thing. What can people do? What action steps can they take besides watching the film and raising their blood pressure?
Okay, the reason we called this film Spoiler is because we know that the number one reason people do not like to vote for third parties is they're afraid of spoiling something. They're afraid, oh, if Ross Perot's out there and I vote for him, Clinton's going to get in and so on. And it is true. There have been times when spoilers have wrecked things. Okay, but you've got to remember that back in around 1860, there was a new party that was trying to start up, and there was a guy by the name of John C. Fremont running on this party, and he started this party, and he was trying to get this third party going, and he didn't quite make it, but another guy that was running with him named Abraham Lincoln did make it, and they started the Republican Party, which was a spoiler. So the point we're trying to make in this movie is this. At certain times in history, voting your conscience is not going to spoil anything. You're not going to spoil anything by voting for your conscience, the third-party candidate, if that's your conscience, because the Democrats and the Republicans are going to end up just fighting each other. There's going to be so much gridlock in Washington that nothing's going to get done anyway. So what are you really spoiling if you vote for a third party? And the next thing we want people to realize is it doesn't take 51% of the vote. It is 38% of the vote to get a third-party candidate elected, and all we need is 15% of the vote to get a third-party candidate up on the presidential debate stage, and that is the main goal. Get a third-party candidate up on that presidential debate stage like Ross Perot did in 1992 so that he can expose a new vision to 70 million people.
Okay, so what do people do to help make that happen?
Well, I really feel that one of the reasons people are shaky is they just don't know the philosophical background, and I think they really do need to continue to get educated on this so that they have firm commitment and the courage to go ahead and vote their conscience rather than voting for these two entrenched parties. I can't tell them anything to do, Jason. I can't say go call up your congressman.
Yeah.
Go call your congressman and tell him because he's part of the problem.
Well, there's a few congressmen that aren't, but yes,
yeah,
you're
you
absolutely
can support,
right.
You can support the Ron Pauls of the world, okay? That goes without saying. But I think we've got to just educate people. Shows like yours and your efforts in the free market activities, we just have to step that up and continue with that. And we're making progress. Would anybody have imagined that Ron Paul would be on Napolitano and Stossel regularly all the time now, and that these other libertarian conservative candidates are getting out there in the mainstream? So, and that we're talking about the gold standard, and gold is almost 2,000 an ounce, and some people are saying we're absolutely going to go back on the gold standard within 5 years. I mean, I think that the field has made incredible progress, and I think the temperament of the times is right. I think that a third party could not win probably this election, but possibly the next one or the one after that.
James, let me tell you something. You are so right about that. The word is getting out. I will tell you, my most widely attended real estate investment seminar, financial seminar that I do is called Creating Wealth. It's called the Creating Wealth Seminar, and it's a one-day seminar. And I've been giving that since 2004. It is now 2011. And when I would get up there and talk about the Federal Reserve, and there were 50, 60, 70 people in the audience, their eyes would gloss over back then. But now, you can literally walk down the street, and I'm not making a judgment here, I'm just trying to say how it's the man on the street knows about it. You can pull a blue-collar guy over who's repairing an air conditioning while you're walking down the street, and he knows all about the Federal Reserve, and he knows about what a scam Wall Street is, and he knows who Ron Paul is. The word is getting out. Until about, I'd say, and I just knew because I could tell by my audience and my seminars, okay? Until about 2000, maybe early to middle 2007 is when it really shifted and people started understanding this stuff. Before that, you talk about fractional reserve lending and monetary policy and the Federal Reserve, and people just didn't get it. But now they do.
Absolutely. And you know, you were one of the early ones to jump on this. I know that you interviewed me for Fiat Empire in 2006, and so this information has been getting out through you. I've also been like to say a word about the real estate business, and I am in the real estate business myself a little bit. I'm a landlord, and we have income office buildings and things that we rent. This is the best time in the world to get into the real estate business.
That's for sure, yeah.
It is like you've got such deals out there, and they're just not making any more real estate. I'm not talking about houses. I'm talking about land and anything that has an improvement on that land. And I'm a very, very bullish on the real estate market.
Well,
right now.
I'll tell you, so am I, my friend. I have properties in 11 different states, but this year alone, I purchased two apartment complexes in Scottsdale, Arizona, totaling 136 units. I just did three houses in Indianapolis, single-family homes. Every single thing I'm buying has excellent numbers. The rental market is in improving dramatically as people are foreclosed on, and I'm buying every single property I buy and every single property our clients buy nowadays through my real estate firm. They're buying far below the cost of replacement or construction cost. They're getting things for 35 to 50% of what it would cost to rebuild them. And it is a phenomenal. Fortunes are made in times like this. So there's a lot of stuff to be concerned about, but there's really some hope because, like we said, people are understanding the message of Spoiler and Fiat Empire, and a lot of them are coming around to see what a great opportunity getting out of the Wall Street scam is and getting away from the big corporatocracy and having control over your own investments, being a direct investor. That's what it's all about. So we got to get control of our political life and our monetary policy in this country too, but yeah. So keep up the good work out there. Hey, give out your website one more time.
Well, they can go to your listeners can go to spoilerusa.org, and that's where the current movie is. If they want to get or look at the other movies, they could go to moviepubs.net.
The website is spoilerusa.org. That's .org, not .com. And James Yeager, thanks so much for coming back on the show, and I look forward to your next film, whatever it is.
Well, thanks for having me, Jason, and it was a pleasure.
Have you listened to the Creating Wealth series? I mean, from the beginning. If not, you can go ahead and get book one, that shows 1 through 20, in digital download. These are advanced strategies for wealth creation. For more information, go to jasonhartman.com. Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.